mothers, all of the mothers, and of course, the mothers at heart. Just let's come to God and pray. I will serve the Lord. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean, and in him all my confidence is in him. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. This morning I'm going to be looking at the mothers of the life of Moses. His biological mother, whose name is Jochebed, and Pharaoh's daughter who adopted him. So let's read first. I'm going to be reading from this passage is taken from the Amplified Bible, but feel free to follow with me in the Bibles in the pew. And I'm looking at Exodus chapter 1, reading from verse 22 to chapter 2, verse 10. Then Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the river Nile, but every daughter you shall allow to live." Now Amram, a man of the house of Levi, the priestly tribe, went and took as his wife Jochebed, a daughter of Levi. And the woman became pregnant and bore a son. And when she saw that he was exceedingly beautiful, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of or basket made of bulrushes or papyrus, making it watertight by daubing it with bitumen and pitch. Then she put the child in it and laid it among the rushes by the brink of the river Nile. And his sister Miriam stood some distance away to learn what would happen to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the bank. She saw the ark among the rushes, and she sent her maid to fetch it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby cried. And she took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then she said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse of the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter. And he became her son, and she called him Moses, for she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." As I studied those verses of scripture, it was quite evident that the hand of God was right there through every stage in the life of Moses as it unfolded. This morning I'm going to ask you to just go back, and let's go back in time to follow this event as it unfolds. Most likely, every one of you know the story of Moses and his birth, and probably leading up to his death. But this morning, at this time that we're going to be looking at, even as today, no one knew what the next day was going to bring. So Jochebed and Pharaoh's daughter, they didn't know. So this morning, let us follow along and see this event through the life of Jochebed and Pharaoh's daughter. But before we get into the passage which was just read, let us look back at what was happening in Egypt at the time just prior to the birth of Moses. In Genesis 12:2, we read, "God promised Abraham, 'I will make you a great nation.'" And then we read in Acts 7:17-18, "But as the time for the fulfillment of the promise drew near, which God had made to Abraham, the Hebrew people increased and multiplied in Egypt until the time when there arose over Egypt another king who did not know Joseph, neither knowing his history and services, nor recognizing his merits." Now, this new dynasty feared that in the event of war, the Israelites, which at this time was now a wealthy and a great nation, would probably rise against them and join in with the to fight against the Egyptians. So, of course, Pharaoh decided that he was going to do something about this. So he came up with some methods to reduce the population growth of the Israelites. And the first thing he did, he worked them to exhaustion and he enslaved them. When that failed, he told the midwives that served the Hebrew women that when the baby boys were born, just get rid of them, kill them. But that also failed because the Hebrew wives feared God and they allowed the babies to live. When that failed, the next command was to annihilate the Hebrew baby boys by casting them into the river. And as we read in 22, just let me remind you what it said. Then Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the river Nile, but every daughter you shall allow to live. It was such a world as this that Moses was born into. He was born under the sentence of death. Now, you know, can you imagine how a mother would feel at this time giving birth to a baby in a situation like this? But anyway, his parents were not afraid of the king's commands. And one can see that Jochebed was a woman of faith and trust in God. She was not swayed by the king's command. And when Jochebed gave birth to her son, she loved him and decided she would save him. She defied the king's command and hid him for 3 months in her home. We read in Acts 7:20. At this time, Moses was born and was pleasing to God. Even this baby was pleasing to God. And God protected the baby and kept him safe during those 3 months. That would not have been an easy task for Jochebed. As babies, you know, they do cry and make noise. But God protected him and his family. And afterwards, she was unable to keep that baby any longer in the home. So she decided she will put him in a basket which she made from bulrushes, and she waterproofed it with asphalt and pitch. She put her dear child in the basket, and she laid him in the river. She carefully laid him in the river. But she didn't just put him just anywhere. She placed that baby near the end of the brook, where there was among the reeds, because there was not much of a current there. And the baby would not float down the river. Anyway, but you know, Jochebed somehow, she complied with Pharaoh's requests, his command, but she put her baby in a basket and he floated. You can imagine that this would have been a very difficult time and a very difficult decision for Jochebed to have made. To place her child in a basket on the river and leave him. That was truly an act of faith. We are reminded in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We must keep our eyes on God and not on the circumstances. Remember that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Now, Jochebed didn't take any chance in keeping her baby, not knowing what might or could have happened to endanger his life. So she made the choice, putting her trust in God, that she would put him on the river and prayed that God will provide a safe home for her son. The love of a mother. You can imagine the tears she must have shed when she laid her baby there with such uncertainty, not even knowing what would happen to her dear son. The kind of faith we saw in Jochebed is the kind of faith that Jesus refers to as great faith. Someone might say, I wish I had that faith. But remember, we are told in Romans that God dealt to each one of us a measure of faith. And as believers, we all have the same amount of faith, a measure. What you do with that measure is what makes the difference. You can make your faith grow, or you just leave it, that it just sits there. But in Romans 10, we read, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And therefore, this way, if you meditate, study, listen to the word of God, your faith will grow and increase. So have faith in God. And just a word of warning, be careful who and what you listen to. Stay in the word of God. We read in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. Isn't it comforting and encouraging to know that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him? Seek Christ. Now Pharaoh's daughter came down to the river to bathe, and while her maidens walked along the river bank, she saw the basket in the reeds, and she sent her maid to fetch it. When she opened the basket, she saw the baby who was crying. Doesn't that touch your heart? Immediately, she had compassion on him, and she said, "This one is the Hebrew child." Most likely, she noticed that the baby was circumcised. Hebrew children were circumcised at the 8th day of birth. Although circumcision was practiced in Egypt, it was not done to infants. And Miriam, as soon as she noticed that Pharaoh's daughter showed pity on the baby, she went and immediately offered that she would you mind if I get a Hebrew woman to nurse your baby? And she said, go. Mark you. She said she's going to get a Hebrew baby, a Hebrew woman to look after the baby, and all the commands of her father. She said, go. And immediately, Miriam went off to Jacob and got Jochebed, the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter told Jochebed to take the child and nurse him and bring him back to me. But she said, I will pay your wages. We do not know if Jochebed gave Miriam these instructions, but by God's divine intervention, Jochebed can now fully fulfill her role as mother at a time very crucial in the life of this baby. Here we see Jehovah Jireh, the great provider, as he protected the baby and provided Pharaoh's daughter, who was willing to have him as her son. When you ponder on this, and you see God's divine intervention, can you imagine the joy and ecstasy that was in Jochebed's heart? How relieved she was knowing that here she has this opportunity to take care of her baby and to nurse him and bring him up right there in her home. What a joy. When he's grown, she will give him back to Pharaoh's daughter. How ironic. God has a sense of humor. Here is Pharaoh's daughter, fully aware of the command her father gave to kill all the Hebrew sons in Egypt. But as she saw this baby, she had compassion on him. She loved him enough to want him for her own son, even though he was a Hebrew. But it does not end there. Jochebed was paid wages from Pharaoh's treasury to raise her own son. You heard that correctly. Paid wages from Pharaoh's treasury to raise her own son. Not many mothers get that privilege. Then returned to Pharaoh's daughter, he was brought up in the courts of Pharaoh. Only God could have orchestrated such a divine and marvelous plan. If it were possible, you would probably have seen Jochebed praising and glorifying God for giving her this wonderful opportunity to continue nursing and caring for her son during his formative years to train and teach him in the way of the Lord. Let's look at some of the teachings given to us in the Bible in training our children today. In Proverbs 22:6, we read, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. This verse advises mothers of their responsibility in bringing up their children to do that which is right in the sight of God. Through the words of guidance, discipline, and encouragement. This message is given for everyone, mothers, fathers, and anyone raising children today. Today, there are many grandmothers who are caring for their grandchildren almost on a daily basis. Consider this a God-given opportunity and a blessing for you to help in the upbringing of these children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 6, 5 to 7, we are told, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." This message gives you the understanding of how God says to teach your children. Teach them diligently about God, and when you use every waking opportunity to tell them of God's love. Pray for them and with them. Teach them how to pray and communicate with God. Show them the love of God in a godly family setting during your life and daily activities. When you walk by the way, you teach them to walk in obedience to the word of God. Earlier this year, a friend of ours shared this incident with us about her grandson, who was about 15 to 16 months of age, and he wasn't talking yet. The parents were ready to feed him his dinner, so they put him in his high chair. On that occasion, the mom was rushing because she had a meeting to attend. So the dad was about to put a spoonful of food in his mouth, but he turned away his head. Instead, he reached out one hand to his mother and one to the father, and he waited for grace to be said. When grace was said, he accepted his food. The parents said he shamed them. They learned a lesson from him that they will not easily forget. Take note, he was not talking. But he understood enough to know that grace was not said yet, as was always done before his meals. You see the importance of training up a child in the way he should go? It is never too early to teach your children about God and his love. Children learn from observation. It's your duty to let them see through your life the beautiful reflection of God. Elena, teach David. Mothers, you must encourage your children as you train them. Do not be afraid to discipline your children from their early years. Remember, God chastens his children that we may walk in his ways. Christian parents must discipline their children in the same way to walk in the ways of God. Let's look at some other passages in the Bible where we are taught about chastening and discipline. Hebrews 12:11 reads, "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful nevertheless. Afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." This verse makes no ifs, ands, or buts about how you parents, mothers are expected to train their children as they discipline and correct them. The children have everything to gain and nothing to lose. There are some of us here that can recall the times when children were disciplined with the Board of Education. Indeed, it was painful, but it served to tell you about the purpose for which it was intended. Today, because of that discipline, we are able to teach and train children about the truth and the love of God. Discipline your children when the offense occurs. Do not wait and postpone it, because it will then be ineffective. This is when you have the chance to make a difference in your child's life. You would not have to fear destruction later in their life. Encourage them by your words and actions. In Proverbs 3:12, we read, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the father the son in whom he delights." Chastening is correction. And if you fail to correct and discipline your child, you are not showing that child love. Because of your love, your child, you can chasten that child and correct him, just as God loves us and chastens us when needed. Where would we be without it? And the same applies to your child today. If perchance you have a child who has turned away from serving God, don't lose hope. Hope does not disappoint. Take your concerns to the throne of grace and go to God and pray. Children, when grown up, will make choices. And that is to be expected. All their choices might not be what you would like them to be. You can only hope and pray that the lessons taught them in their childhood will last a lifetime. Prayer is powerful. Do not cease praying for your children and show them love. Here are some words of comfort to any mother whose son or daughter has made wrong choices, which caused them to turn away from serving God. We read in Jeremiah 31:15-16. "Thus says the Lord, refrain your voices from weeping and your eyes from tears. For your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord, and they shall come back to the land from the land of the enemy. There is hope in the future. In your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border." These verses give hope and encouragement. And as you keep your faith and trust in God, put God first, stay in prayer. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God will give you peace, strength, and endurance as you await the manifestation of their return back to their first love. Now let us look back at, go to Exodus 2:10, which reads, "And the child grew, and she," referring to Jochebed, "brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She called him Moses, for she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" And we see here that his adopted mother was the one who named him Moses, which means to draw out, as she drew him out of the water. We're not told in the scriptures how old Moses was when Jochebed brought him back to the Pharaoh's daughter. One can only imagine the joy that Pharaoh's daughter must have had when she received him now as her own son. But for Jochebed, she would have been saddened in a part to part with her son. And any mother can relate to that. But she might have found comfort in knowing that he would be well cared for and there would be no further threats on his life. Numbers 26:59 tells us, "And Amram, Jochebed bore Aaron, Moses, and their sister Miriam." Just for word of information, Jochebed was Amram's aunt. He married his aunt. But don't worry, it was okay at that time. Not any longer. Now, this just gives us a picture of the family. Miriam was the eldest. Aaron was about 3 years old at the birth of Moses. Jochebed and Amram were still blessed to have Miriam and Aaron. We know she probably had that place which is missing in her heart, Moses. But there's not a lot said about Jochebed in the Bible. But as we read about the lives of her three children further on in Exodus and following books, one can easily see the legacy left them of their godly upbringing as taught by their godly mother. You cannot overlook Amram because he also played his part. But here we see the rewards of training up a child in the way of the Lord. As you recall, Moses, he was the one who delivered. He was the deliverer who brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Aaron, he was the head of the priestly family, which was the Levite tribe. And Miriam, she was a prophetess and also one of music and song. Even though Pharaoh's daughter was not of the faith of Jochebed, she demonstrated faith and love as she received her adopted son into the family. We see God's divine intervention here again. God softened Pharaoh's heart on this occasion as he accepted Moses, a Hebrew boy, into his household as his daughter's adopted son. How else could this have happened except through God's intervention? There's not much recorded in the book of Exodus on the upbringing of Moses in Pharaoh's household. But we are told in Acts 7, 21 to 22. But when he was set out, Pharaoh's daughter took him away and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. Moses grew up and was raised in Pharaoh's court, where he became one of the family. We read in Acts that he was given the best education, learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. In my Bible notes, this explains that Pharaoh at this time had no son. However, Pharaoh's daughter was preparing him to be the successor to the throne. It would seem as though that could be one of her reasons for providing him such an excellent education. This served him in good stead when God chose him to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. He was well versed in all the affairs of Egypt. And now you can see God's plan for Moses' life from birth. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." This reminds us that God has a plan for each and every one of us. Later, Pharaoh had a son of his own who succeeded him. And Moses became a great captain among the Egyptians. He was mighty in words and deed. The picture of the high quality education that he was given speaks volumes for his adopted mother, how she loved and cared for her son. When we look at Pharaoh's daughter lovingly and willingly adopting Moses, remember that we believers have been adopted into the family of God. Romans 8:15-17 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together." Believers who are walking according to the Spirit are the sons of God and receive the Spirit of adoption. As children of God, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And everything that God the Father has given to his Son, Jesus Christ, has also been given to us. When you are adopted, you are accepted into the family as one born into the family. We read in John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to him he gave the right to become children of God, and to those who believe in his name." If there is anyone here this morning who has not yet accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I urge you to ask Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and come into your heart. Confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. You would have noticed as this event unfolded that there were three women mentioned in the early life of Moses: each played a very significant part in his early life and setting his lifeline for the future. First was his birth mother, Jochebed, who was a God-fearing woman and brought up her son in a godly home. She trained and nurtured him in the knowledge and love of God. She gave him a solid foundation in God's word, which served him in later in life. We learn of all that he did later in his life as God chose him as a leader to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. Then there was his sister Miriam. You might not have paid much attention to what she did, but she played a vital role in the way this story unfolded. She watched to see what would happen to her brother. Then she acted like the link between Pharaoh's daughter and Jochebed, his mother, which allowed for his early training at home before going to live in an Egyptian pagan home. Nothing was recorded, but it would seem likely that she would have been involved somewhat in helping her mother in taking care of Moses. This was all God's wonderful plan. Finally, there's Pharaoh's daughter, who bravely adopted Moses and brought him up in Pharaoh's court, disregarding her father's command to kill the Hebrew boys. What faith she displayed. Even here you see God's hand at work in Pharaoh's court. Everything worked according to God's plan. Nothing is impossible with God. With each of these women doing their part in Moses' life, you saw results that could only have been divinely orchestrated by God. Throughout this message, there was evidence of much love. There was a God of love of God at every turn. Jochebed, his mother, who showed such great love against all odds. And his sister Miriam, in getting his mother to care for him. Pharaoh's daughter, who ignored his father's command and adopted Moses as her son. This love shown in this story is no different from the love that you show your children today. Remember, the Bible has all of the answers in raising your children. Just go pray for the Bible, and not just raising your children, in everything that comes up in your life today. Every mother desires the best for their children. As parents, your life should be a reflection of God's grace, that your children will see Christ in your words of faith, your love, and actions. Your children, in turn, will grow up to love and serve God and therefore lead others to Christ. May all of you be blessed as you leave your children the legacy of a godly upbringing, as Jochebed did and left for her children. Happy our home when God is there. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we can come before you. We thank you for the words that you've put within my mouth to share with others this morning. And Father, you said that your words, when they go forth, they will not return to you void. And we pray this morning, oh God, that these words have reached the heart of someone, because we know that they will go and do that for which you have sent them. We pray for all the mothers here this morning, that God will pour out their blessing upon them. We thank you for your mothers, and those of us who are without mothers, we thank you for what they did because of their love and what they did for us. Today we can stand up and serve God. Lord, may this be a blessing to all those this day. And God, bless mothers and just give them a heart of love for their children, in the name of Jesus. Amen.